Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been doing some teaching on the name of Jesus, as you will know. And I just want to finish that this morning. You know, we've been looking at the twofold commandment, to believe on the name of Jesus and to love one another. And we're focused out this teaching on the name of Jesus. So we see it's part of the twofold commandment that John writes in his letter. Last week we were looking at the power in the name of Jesus, power to meet needs and for miracles. And this morning I just want to wrap it up with looking at the greatness of the name of Jesus as it's recorded in the scriptures. And we're taking our text, we started off talking about the man that was sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, and Peter and John were going up to pray, and they ministered to him in Jesus' name. And so that's the teaching that we've covered. The teaching is available on my website, and the recordings, so you can go there and get them, and the notes as well. So, the greatness of the name of Jesus. The greatness of the name. You know, the scriptures describe how great the name of Jesus is. And I want us to turn, first of all, to an Old Testament prophet, a scripture that you know very well because we read it at Nativity time. And it's one of the prophecies concerning the birth of Jesus, found in the book of Isaiah in chapter 9. And it's verse 6. So Isaiah 9, verse 6. And it says this, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You know, there the prophet proclaims that his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. You know, the greatness of his name. His name will be called Wonderful. Wonderful name. That wonderful name of Jesus. The Mighty God. You know, don't let anybody tell you that Jesus isn't God. You know, his name was declared 700 years before he was born and conceived. He was declared to be Mighty God by the prophet. The everlasting scripture about Jesus. Let's actually go to just prior to the fulfillment of that scripture, where Jesus was conceived. So we're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. So Matthew 1, 21. And this is where the angel Gabriel is appearing to Mary and to Joseph and telling them that they're going to have a child. And in Matthew 1, 21, the angel Gabriel tells Joseph, says, talking about Mary, says, "She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, I can't remember if it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, I was going through the words saved and salvation, the Greek words soteria and sozo. You know, here the scripture's telling us that the name of Jesus, he had to be called Jesus. That was fundamental. That was his name. Why? Because he is the Savior. And the name Jesus means Savior. You know, he will save his people from their sins. And we know that Jesus is Savior today. He saves us from our sin. He saves us from our sickness. He saves us from the oppression of the enemy, from any bondages and habits that we might have and be involved in. He saves us from the curse of poverty. Actually, Jesus saves for anything that we need to be saved from. Jesus is the Savior. You know, we find that because that is who He is. That's a part of the greatness of His name, that He is, His name is Jesus. There can be no other Savior. You know, the Scriptures tell us, the Old Testament Scripture tells us, the book of Joel, and Peter quotes it in the book of Acts 2:21. He says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, talking about Jesus, shall be saved. Amen. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want us to go to that Scripture. We've touched on it a few times over the last few weeks. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Because look what it says here. Again, a fundamental scripture in this account of the lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple. Because they were, as you know, Peter and John were brought before the authorities because they'd ministered healing to this man in the name of Jesus. They were forbidden to speak or teach in His name. And Peter addresses this group of religious leaders, and he says, look, it's through faith in the name of Jesus that this man's been made strong. And then he says here in verse 12, this fundamental scripture, he says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under. Now that should tell us one thing, that there's only salvation found in Jesus. It's not in church. It's not through a host of works. We are saved by faith in Jesus. And Paul writes to the Ephesian church, he says, it's by faith through grace. That not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works. It's not of anything that we could do, any endeavor on our part. All we had to do to be saved was to believe on the name of Jesus. And will be saved. Whoever calls, now that word there, call, in Joel, and Peter quoted it in chapter 2. He says, whoever calls, that word call means to put your faith and confidence in. When you call on that name, when you speak that name, as we were talking about last week, you know, we've got to believe in the name of Jesus. Then another scripture that the prophets, or another name the prophets gave Jesus, when he was in their prophecies about his birth, they said his name will be called Emmanuel. Read it in Isaiah 7:14, I believe it is. But the in the New Testament, in Matthew 1:23, the brothers are going to put that on the screen for me, Matthew 1 verse 23. Come down one more. There it is. There, here, again, we get the quotation from Isaiah. It says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which when translated means God with us. The name Emmanuel means God with us. You know, and that was the name given to him. Now, God, I just want you to think about that phrase for the moment. God with us. God with us. Did you know God is with you? God is with you right now. You know, God revealed himself, the Father revealed himself in the Old Testament to Moses. And there was many names that the Lord used to reveal himself to various ones. Names like Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai. But one of the names of God as revealed to Moses was the name I Am. I Am. You know, when that name was given, when Moses went before God and he says, look, he said, okay, God, said, yeah, I'll go then into Egypt. He said, but I'm going to have to say, who's, they're going to ask me, who has sent you? So I've got to give them a name. Who shall I say has sent me to them? And God says, tell them, I am. I am. I am has sent you. There were many times that Jesus, him, went talking to those that were listening. We're not going to put them on the screen, but I'm just going to quickly go through them. Seven times in the book of John, Jesus used this name directly when talking about himself. In John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life. In chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. Chapter 10, he says, I am the door of the sheep. Again in chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. Amen. In chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Chapter 15, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Sorry, I missed one. That was chapter 11. That was, I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 15, he says, I am the vine. Sorry, my mistake. I am the vine. So those seven times in the scriptures where Jesus directly uses this name, I am, to talk about himself. But then, when he's talking to the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, do you remember, can you give me John 8, 58, please? Chica, thank you. John 8, 58. Because Jesus talking to the religious leaders of the day, they were having a debate about their who they were and about Abraham. And here in chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, he says, most assuredly I say to you, remember I said this last week when we used these words, most assuredly, we need to pin back our ears and listen to what Jesus is saying. You know, almost like it's like an underline in the scriptures or a highlighter pen across the page. It stands out. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, he wasn't just saying this for the sake of saying it. Jesus didn't use words just for the sake of filling up space. We do that. Preachers and teachers, we have a habit of adding words to elongate the message. We call it, the English word for it is waffle. And we can make something sound much better than it is just by adding a few words to it. But Jesus didn't mince his words. He didn't add words just for expanding something. Everything Jesus said, he meant, and he meant everything he said. And where he says this, he says, before Abraham was, I am. The Jews knew what he was talking about. They knew exactly what Jesus was saying here, because it says in verse 59, then they took up stones to throw at him. Why would they want to throw stones at him? Why? Because he was claiming to be God. The mighty God, the great I am. Amen. Now we may not grasp that today because of the language. It may not. We might just take that to mean before Abraham was, I existed. But that's not what Jesus was saying, although he did. He did exist before Abraham, because he is eternal. He was saying here, he says, before Abraham was, I was God. I am God. I'm still God. Let's go to another scripture. Again, talking about this name, I am. And I want you to see this, because this is very relevant for you and me today. In 2019, on this first day of September, Matthew 18, verse 20. And I want you just get the revelation in this scripture. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, That's what Jesus was saying. If you are gathered in my name, I am in the midst.
Amen.
You know, just thinking about that, thinking of the revelation of what Jesus was saying, he says, when you meet together in my name, we've met in the name of Jesus today, then I am is right in the midst. The great I am, the great God. When we meet in his name, he is present in our midst. I want to take you to one more scripture. And again, it's a scripture you'll be very familiar with, I'm sure. Scripture that I've preached on many times and we've quoted many times. You'll know this scripture. I'm sure you will know it almost off by heart. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We're still talking about the name of Jesus. And this tells us that faith in the name of Jesus pleases God.
Amen.
When we put our faith in Jesus' name, it pleases God. Actually, anything that's not of faith, the Bible's Romans tells us, is sin. If we're not in faith, we're in sin. And that's hard words. But here he says, the writer to the Hebrews writes this, he says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That's exactly the same as saying, I am. It's the same verb. I am, you are, he is. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe, it says. Again, it's not just a head acceptance. It's not just saying, oh yeah, I believe in that. You know, we can believe in lots of things. But we're told here to put our full trust and our full confidence. We put our total life dependency on I am. That he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So as we've seen, the name Emmanuel means God with us. We have I am with us, the great God. You know, Jesus is and was God, or he was God in the flesh. He came. He was living among us. The apostles wrote those words, or John wrote those words. And the apostles wrote the words. I'm just going to go to a couple of them. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Paul writes these words to Timothy. And he says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And it's this, that God was manifested in the flesh. God was manifested in the flesh. I am came and was manifest in the flesh. We know he's talking there about Jesus. He was seen, so justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles and believed on in the world and received up in glory. You know, without controversy, he says, this is the great mystery. God was manifest in the flesh. John writes, and you'll know this scripture as well very well, in John chapter 1 verse 14. He says, and the Word. Now, if you read the earlier part of the chapter in verse 1, you'll know the Word is God. Well, the Word is God. I can't even remember the quotation myself now. Come back to verse 1. I just had a mental blockage. I couldn't remember. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then in verse 14 he says, and the Word became flesh. Talking about Jesus. The Word became flesh And then look what John writes. Says, and dwelt among us. God living among us. God living with us. God, this is Emmanuel, God with us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now I've got a... I don't like to apologize because of all these scriptures I'm bringing to you. It's good to know the scriptures, see what the Bible says, that we're not just taking one verse and making a doctrine out of it. It's recorded through the scriptures, all the way through. We're going to spend a few minutes just looking at this next one in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Beautiful scripture. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Let me just stop there for a moment. Jesus came in the form and likeness of man. He was found, it says, in appearance as a man. It's important that you grasp that this morning, because you need to know that everything Jesus did while he was on earth in his ministry, he did as a man. The life he lived as a man. Yes, he was the Son of God. He was God. But on earth, he was man. So when you read things that Jesus said, and you think, no way. Yes, way. Because Jesus did it as a man. The life Jesus lived. The life without sin Jesus lived as a man. The life Jesus lived overcoming temptation, he did as a man. He went to the cross as a man. He took your sin as a man. He died in your place as a man. Everything Jesus did, he did as a man. Amen. With faith in his Father, faith in God. Amen. You know, that should really make it clear, because that means if Jesus did it, so can we. Amen?
Amen.
If Jesus overcame, so can we. Jesus wouldn't ask us to do something that he didn't do himself. If he did it, everything he did, you know, when he ministered, if he did it as God, that would give us no hope. We can say, well, that's because you were God. No, but because he was man, we can live the same. We can overcome the same. He humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Then look at verse 9. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of
Jesus,
the pastor, the prophet, Muhammad, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And if of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. God has highly exalted the name of Jesus, given him the name which is above every name. Do you think Paul just wrote this to the Philippian church? It says that every knee should bow to the name of Jesus. Every knee in heaven, every angelic being will bow their knees to the name of Jesus. Every knee on earth will bow to the name of Jesus. Every knee under the earth, every demon will have to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. Now they may not do it right now, but they will have to do it. One day, every knee will bow before Jesus, whether you like it or not.
Amen.
Whether you believe in Jesus or not this morning, you will have to bow your knee to his name.
Amen.
Paul wrote to the Ephesian church the same words, well, the same theme. In Ephesians 1, verse 21. Again, it's talking about Jesus. This scripture is talking about Jesus. It says that he is seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Jesus is seated far above all principality and power. He's above. His name is higher. All might and dominion and every name that is named. Then look at this. Not only in this age, but in that which is to come. Every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. Everything that has a name must bow to the name of Jesus. Why are we told to pray in the name of Jesus? Because everything that has a name must bow to the name of Jesus. Why are we told to believe in the name of Jesus? Because everything that's named must bow to that name. Every sickness, every disease, every infirmity. There's nothing. If it's got a name, you know, we're good. Society, technology, science, we give things names. And it's good that we give them names. Because if they've got a name, they've got to bow. Cancer is only a name. Diabetes is only a name. Arthritis is only a name. Whatever sickness or disease you can think of, if it's got a name, praise God, it's got to bow its knee. It has to bow. It has a name. It's above every, the name of Jesus is above every name that is named. We talk about things like addictions and habits. Drug addiction is just a name. Alcohol addiction is just a name. Gambling is a name. And it's got to bow to the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Think about the character traits that we have as people. Things like anger, wrath, malice, self-control. These are only but names and labels. And they have to bow to the name of Jesus. Everything that has a name. If you've been depression. Well, that's just a mood swing. Well, that's a name. It has to bow to the name of Jesus. Let's just read that scripture again. In Philippians, chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's declare it this morning that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
One more time. Jesus is Lord. We declare it in
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.